I give to God by enjoying what He has given me. Okay? I mean, do you really think He expects something back? Now, I know there's a lot of people at church that would not understand this line of reasoning. That's why, just to make things simple and not to cause any controversy, I like to carry what I call the little empty envelope. All right? You see, when the plate gets passed, I bloop, put it in there like that. The deacon's counting the money. They only know me as the crazy empty envelope guy, but the people sitting around me, clueless. I win, they win, God wins. No one gets hurt because no one knows.
God knows.
Huh?
Let me ask you a question, huh? How's your mutual fund? Hey, for that matter, how's all your funds? Has the fund left your funds, huh? Has your do-re-mi taken a W-A-L-K, huh? What if I told you that I knew about an investment you could make that the return would be mind-boggling? And it's promised. It's guaranteed. I know what you're saying. There's no guarantees. This one's guaranteed, okay? Malachi 3:10. So it says in the Old Testament. It says, test me, give to God, and He will give you back. It goes like this. I give this, He gives this. I give this, He gives this. I give this. Right up there. He keeps giving. I can't outgive God. How crazy is that? Do I love Him? Sure, whatever. I'm just saying, if you give, He gives back.
I tithe. But just not like in the form of a 10% check, per se. Let me tell you what I mean. When I go to church on a Sunday morning, they're selling donuts. I buy some. Boom. That's a tithe. When my whole Sunday school class wants donuts, and I, out of the goodness of my heart, buy a whole bunch for the Sunday school class, boom. That's another tithe. But it's not about me spending money. It's about the smile on people's faces. That, my friends, is tithe enough for me. Case in point, the church was having date nights where we could take our spouse out for an evening, and they were charging $25 for child care. Boom shakalaka tithe. I'll tell you what the biggest tithe was. When I spent over $100 on our meal, and my wife was grinning ear to ear, that, my friends, a tithe.
I would like to give. I would, okay? But everything right now is just crazy. I mean, just crazy, you know? I mean, not normal crazy, really crazy, you know? And if after I paid my bills and took care of the things that I need and want, then I would consider giving something. But not now's crazy. We're going to give later. We've already talked about it. I mean, down the road, we'll be crazy givers. But right now, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I have money, that's a fact. But you know what? It's a heart thing between me and the Lord and the pastor, because He needs to know what I'm giving now that we have this little building campaign going on, if you know what I'm saying. And pastor, I'd give a little bit more. I'd give a little something if you'd have that music minister sing a couple more hymns now and then, huh? Hey, watch this. Watch this. Is that a Benjamin? I think it is. Benji likes hymns. Come on. You want it? Come on, pastor. Do what I say, huh?
Oh, in my life, Lord, be glorified in me. I put money in the plate. Wait, wait, wait. Look what I have here. My horse doesn't interfere. But that everyone can hear how I give with cheer. That everyone could be like me.
Jazz hands.
All good. You gotta laugh a little bit about it, right? I hope over the next couple of weeks there's a little bit more of the smiling and talking about this in an area where it's not tension, but an area where we can just say, you know what? God is good. And He wants us to share the blessings that He has. And can we get a little light in here? Would that be possible there? Thank you, John. John's filling in today, and I appreciate all the help there. Thank you. Thank you for that. But I hope that we are able to talk and relax with this topic rather than think about it as something that is always so tension-filled. And sometimes we hear this topic of stewardship, and there is a part of us that's like, oh, I wish I could give more, or I wish I was more regular, or maybe it's something where I know I need to do it, and we just get really overwhelmed with the whole idea of giving, and then we just shut down. And that's the last thing that God wants, is for us to shut down. He wants us to hear the message. He wants us to listen to what he says about giving and about stewardship. And he wants us to be willing to walk in faith. And so today, we're going to talk more about that and understand the alternatives. And so over the next couple weeks, we're going to be taking time to talk about stewardship. And then you'll have an opportunity to say, you know what? This is my commitment, my pledge for the coming year. And we'll turn in those pledge cards. And then at the end of that process, it enables us to kind of look at totals and go through a process of budgeting. And then later in August, we return that to you. And that's between you and the Lord, that commitment, that pledge that you make. And it just helps us to do ministry well. It helps us to understand a little bit more of where the finances are going to be for the coming year. We do a fiscal year budget from August, from September through August. And so it just helps in the whole process. And we also, as elders, believe that there's a value in at least yearly talking about stewardship and praying about where we're at in our area of giving. And so it gives us opportunity to think about, okay, here's where I'm at. Here's where I want to be. Maybe these are some things that I'm struggling with, and it just gives us an ability to really think through on the whole area of stewardship and considering the different scriptures and where my heart lines up with the scriptures. So today we're going to begin with the idea of the joy of giving, because it's meant to be joyful. It's meant to be something where we give and we give in faith, and we're able to understand the value of God just smiling down on us when we give out of an attitude that says, I have been blessed with much, therefore I want to bless others and I want to use my gifts for his glory. Proverbs 3:9 says, to honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Notice he doesn't say at the end of the week when there's some leftover, then I give. He's saying from the very first fruits, we honor the Lord and we say, okay, I'm going to give to you. And here's my tithe. Here's my gift. And then I'm going to trust you to provide for my needs. It's a walk of faith. And it's an incredible thing. We're not used to that. I mean, everything around us is much more of a consumer kind of mindset that says, hold on to what you have and stretch the dollars. And it just doesn't make sense to actually give it to the Lord and then trust that he's going to stretch those dollars and help you and bless you. It goes on to say this in Proverbs 3, then your barns, your school loans, your house payment, your utilities, your vacation, they'll be paid in full. Your vats will brim over with new wine, and God will provide for all of your needs abundantly. He promises to do that. And throughout this series, I just want to encourage you to say, test God. See if that's not true. Just test God and see if he doesn't come through in that kind of way. When we were in ministry at Dallas Seminary, Bev and I didn't have a whole lot. And it was interesting because I think at that point God was saying, okay, you're in ministry. That doesn't, you know, give you an excuse to not give. Just because you're committing all this time to me, that doesn't mean you don't give. It's still a walk of faith. And I remember us giving when we didn't have a whole lot to give. And there were some large churches in Dallas that we were involved with where they had like thousands of dollars. And I was like, really? You need our, you know, like $30? Really? Our $30? That's going to make a difference? And when we would give, it was interesting because we saw time and time again where God faithfully met our needs. And when we didn't have anything, he provided for that car to be fixed. He provided for us to have our rent. He provided for us in ways that we couldn't even imagine. There was times where when people would give to us to help us, that out of the blue there would be a check in the mail and God would provide for us. And we'd say, okay, it's just a reminder. Give as God has blessed you and trust me to provide. Today we live where we have a lot less cost. Downsizing was good. That helped us. Having the kids out of the house, that's amazing because they just drain every single penny out of your, you know, like they take it all, right? It's incredible. Kids are expensive these days. And when they all left, it was like finally for Bev and I to have some money that we could say, let's use this and bless others, but also feel like we're living within our means, and it's just a blessing. And there's a temptation, even when you have plenty, right, to not give, to hold on to those things. And the Lord says, when we have little or we have much, we're to give and we're to honor the Lord. And He promises to provide, and we've seen God provide in tremendous ways. We had some money where we could have bought a new washer. And about 6 months ago, the washer went, and we could have just gone ahead and got a new washer. And we prayed about it. And I go, I don't think so. I don't know. I think we need a... And we brought a service guy out, and for like $130, he fixed our washer. And those dollars were stretched, right? That could have been used for a new... They were stretched. And I just really believe that we need to have wisdom and pray and seek the Lord. And here's what I believe firmly. Here's my conviction, is that God stretches those dollars when we give. And He honors the person that gives first unto the Lord. And He promises to come through and provide for us. But as Christ followers, it's interesting, when it comes to God and our relationship with Him, sometimes we forget that He's the one that meets all of our needs. God is the one that meets our needs. He's the one that blesses us. All the deepest desires of our heart are met in Christ. As Christ followers, He says to each and every one, my soul thirsts for God. My flesh yearns for Thee in a dry and weary land where there's no water. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within him. I like the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It says this, that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Every one of us, our needs are met in Him, the Savior. Our needs are met in God and God alone. And our deepest needs, He satisfies those things. But it's interesting how a lot of times in the way of that kind of surrendered life is a life where materialism begins to take away from God being enough. Instead of saying, in God we trust, we begin to trust in ourselves. And in our culture, materialism can get in the way of a life surrendered. Instead of saying, God, you're the one that meets my needs, you're the one that satisfies the longings of my heart, you're the one that provides for me, we begin to pull in and begin to trust our ability to kind of do life. And I think in our culture today, we need to hear from the Lord about materialism and how oftentimes it gets in the way of a life surrendered. Materialism is something of an idolatry. It gets in the way of our love for God and our dependency on Him. Materialism can stifle our spiritual growth. And that's why I'm so passionate about talking about giving and talking about giving the first fruits. I'm passionate about it because I know when we are able to surrender this area to the Lord and are able to give out of the first fruits, I know that God stretches us spiritually and He helps us to grow. Jeremiah 2:12-13 says, we forsake the God who is able to quench our thirst, the God who's able to satisfy the needs, and we dig for ourselves broken cisterns that hold no water. And in our culture, materialism does that, where we hold on to the money that God has invested, has given to us, and we hang on to that rather than invest it in kingdom work. And as a result, our faith is shortchanged. Luke 12, I love this passage. Luke 12, beginning in verse 13, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." In other words, he's holding on to it. I don't like my brother because he's holding on to the money and it's due me. And you can just hear the frustration, right? And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to judge or be this arbitrator between you?" And then he said this, "Watch out." Kind of goes beneath the surface. "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them this parable. He said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' And then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. I had this nice little house, and then we'll build a bigger house. And then we'll have we need a garage to store the stuff. And so I build it. And then that garage isn't big enough, so I need a storage, unit. And so I just keep going, right?" That's our culture. And then he says, "I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Trust fully in what is there for you, right? Trust fully in what you've provided for yourself. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but listen, but is not rich towards God.'" God encourages us to be rich towards Him. He encourages us to invest in that which is eternal. He encourages us to not get tied into the materialism of more and more and more and living where we live outside of our means. Materialism is destroying lives today. And God would encourage us to be stretched, to be individuals that are walking in faith, individuals that are getting out of the boat and walking on water towards Jesus, individuals that are saying, "I just don't want to be comfortable, I want to be stretched." And one of those areas that we're stretched in is when we say, "God, out of the first fruits, I'm going to give, I'll trust you, and I'm going to continue to walk in that faith." And it's an adventure that is scary, that's you don't know what the outcome is going to be. But when we get out of our comfort zone in the area of giving, God provides and God meets needs. When I think about giving and all the materialism within our culture, givers understand this. The ones that give would say, "You know what? I started this way back when I didn't have a whole lot and I just started giving and God just kept blessing, and then I tried to give more and God just kept blessing." The ones that give understand that God is the one that comes through, and they have seen His faithfulness year after year as they give unto the Lord. For those that never get out of the boat, there's not the stories of faith. For those that never get out of the boat and say, "I'm going to trust you, God, and I'm going to give on a regular basis," they're the ones that suffer. They're the ones that their faith doesn't grow and they're not stretched. God encourages us to step out of the boat and be stretched. And here's what I promise. I promise, and I just know because God says it, that He will bless and you will understand the blessings that God provides when we take that step of faith. Materialism can stifle our growth spiritually, our spiritual growth. Materialism also can bring a lot of unhappiness and anxiety. I think of the passage in Matthew 6 that encourages us to keep turning things over to the Lord. Matthew 6, because so oftentimes we hold on, so oftentimes we worry about things. We worry about where that bill is going to be paid and how are we going to do this. And can I ever do a vacation like that? Or what about the home? I mean, here's this bill and we have that plumbing bill. How are we going to provide for that? Or there's all these questions, right? And we worry. That's our human nature, is just to get anxious and worry about these things. And here's what Jesus says. "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. are you. Are you much more valuable than they? And then can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about your clothes and how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yeah, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not, listen, much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Lots of worry, lots of anxiety, stressing over finances all the time. Faith is part of the equation. And when we walk in faith and we trust God and we give out of the first fruits, he promises to provide for you better than anything. All of nature, you look at how he does that. He says, how much more? Well, I bless you and encourage you. So don't do what the pagans do. They run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows. Knows that you need them. If he knows that you need them, he's going to provide for you. He's going to meet your need because he cares about you and loves you best. The question is, will you trust him with your finances? Will you trust him enough to say, God, I'm going to obey you and what you say concerning finances? Materialism can stifle our spiritual growth. It can bring a lot of anxiety. But it also is often a result of just our own self-sufficiency. Some of you still believe in the Bible, the verse where it says the Lord helps those who help themselves. You know, your parents told you that or somebody else told you that and you got it and you said, I'm running with that. Because there's all those fools that, you know, just are so foolish when it comes to money and things like that. And they always want people to hand them things and give them handouts. And the Bible says, you know, the Lord helps those who help themselves. But that's not in the Bible. That's a whole idea of self-sufficiency that is part of the world. And maybe for some of you grew up with parents that maybe taught more of self-sufficiency and what it means to walk in faith and trust in God. When you're around church and around people of faith, you get a different understanding of what it means to have our sufficiency met in God and know that we need to trust him rather than our own ability to kind of make life work. Self-sufficiency has no faith. Self-sufficiency says, I'm going to do it and I'm going to get through this and I'm going to grind it out. But where is the dependency on God? Here's the other thing. Where is the kind of good, healthy dependency on the body of Christ and people around you that can love you in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of all that you're struggling with? For one of the most difficult things to do is to ask for help and to say, you know what? Could you help me move because I can't afford to move? Or could you help me to meet that need with groceries because we're just having a struggle right now? I just want you to know that God uses his people to bless and to go before you. It's not about in a sense, taking advantage, but it's being willing to be vulnerable and say, God, would you help me to share the need with those around me, but also, Lord, help me to receive, because none of us in our culture today receive very well. None of us are humble enough where we're able to just kind of say, God, thank you. Thank you for that blessing. Our culture, our society is so about self-sufficiency. I think of the passage in 1 Timothy where he reminds the church, the body of Christ, to have a value that says it's about God, it's about what he can provide. He says in 1 Timothy 6:17, command them who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth. How about that for self-sufficiency? Which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. He's a good God who leads down good paths. And he blesses and encourages us. And he, you just can't get outgive God, because he's that kind of heavenly Father who gives good gifts to his children. Therefore, Timothy says this, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. For in this way they lay up for themselves treasures, a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life, that which is truly life. Isn't that a neat reminder for all of us to move past our self-sufficiency and to know that God provides and meets our needs, and God is able to do that? When we step out in faith, God will provide. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 8, it says this, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance in every good deed. As God is blessed, may we not hold back. As God is blessed, may we sow in a good way. And may it be generous as our heart. May we generously give and ask God to bless his work. The other day, I talked to Pastor Sterling down in the Bahamas. Pastor Doug, so good to hear from you. And I was able to share with him that our church has set aside money to meet some needs for his little ministry and with the Haitian refugees there in the Bahamas. He was so excited to hear that we hadn't forgotten. It was about a year ago that we took a group of high school students down there to the Bahamas, and we ministered there to the Haitian people in his church, Cornerstone International Church of, you know, Zion, da 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 da. You know, they have long names for their churches. I can't remember the whole thing. And he was so excited hearing from Pastor Doug. And as a shepherd on behalf of this church, I was able to say that we have some mission funds that we wanted to provide for you. And he stopped for a minute. He said, Pastor, you don't know the needs that I have before my people. We try to meet needs. They need the food. They need this. They need that. It's overwhelming. Our culture, we don't get that experience. But for him, it's a daily experience trying to shepherd and take care of those needs. What a blessing. That's because you all are faithful. That's because you all have been a blessing in this church, and so that we can give back and give not only in this community, but give in the world around us and some of the relationships of the people that we meet, because it's just so good to say, yes, we brought a team, but it's so good to also say, we remember. And we're not going to just be so foolish to think that we can take a team down there and forget the poverty and forget what Pastor Sterling deals with on a daily basis. So each of you should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, one that understands the value of God just blessing, God encouraging, and knowing that it's a good thing to give. And with joy in my heart, I give and I say, God, just use this to bless others and use this in our ministry here at Medina Community. Use this, Lord, to further your work. Lord, I give and I know that you'll provide, and I've seen you do it time and time again. And so out of the first fruits, I'm going to provide and step out in faith, and I'm going to be stretched at times, but I know that you're going to bless and encourage. And when we do, God comes through. He always, always comes through. So today you have a choice to make. The choice to make is, what are you going to do with what God has provided in your life? What are you going to do with what he has challenged you with? The life response is one of saying, God, okay, in light of all of this, Maybe it's a matter of looking at my finances and saying, is there a way I can, you know, give $10 more a week? Or is there a way that I can begin to tithe? There's a way that I can begin to step out in faith. For some of you, you've given much, and we appreciate all that you've blessed us with. And maybe it's just continuing to do what God has called you to do, and nothing needs to change because you've been faithful and giving, and you've done that with a cheerful heart. For some of you, I want to give you the challenge, and I call it the Starbucks challenge. Because every week, you probably spend at least $20 on Starbucks. So why not? I'm not going to ask you to give up Starbucks, because that would be way over the top. But why not begin to faithfully give to your church family $20 a week and say, out of faith, before Monday morning when I buy the Starbucks, in faith, I'm going to give the $20 to my church family and trust God to provide for the needs. How about doing something like that? Because if you haven't given before, this is like new territory. But I'm saying to each and every one, when we step out in faith, you'll be amazed. Amazed at how God will come through and provide for you. He loves to stretch our faith. And He loves, as a Heavenly Father, to just bless and encourage us and say, thank you for that walk of faith and that stretching, that out of your comfort zone, our Heavenly Father loves to bless in that way. I want to conclude by saying this. Campbell Morgan, famous preacher, said this. The measure of failure on the part of the church is a measure in which she has allowed herself to be influenced by the spirit of the age because she has been untrue to the facts of her own life. We are sometimes told today that when what church is really needs is that she should catch up with the spirit of the age. 1,000 times no. What the church supremely needs is to correct the spirit of the age. The church in Corinth, catching the spirit of Corinth, became weak and failed to deliver the message of God to the Corinth people. The church of God in London, invaded by the spirit of London, the materialism, militarism, selfishness of London, is too weak to save London. If the church's failure is due to the fact that the spirit of the city has invaded the church's success is due to the fact that the spirit of the church invades the city. The church of God always succeeds when, true to the supernatural nature of her life, she stands in perfect separation from the city. Only thus is she able to touch and help the city. In the Western church, affluence has dulled our senses. God's word calls out for us to give and to live outside the norm. Here's the question. With or without us, God's moving. He's accomplishing His kingdom work. He's using our time, energy, skills, material resources of all of His disciples. Whether God is moving is not the question. The question is whether or not we choose to get on board with what God is doing. Let's pray as we conclude. Lord, I thank you for today and just a reminder for each one of us. When it comes to our resources, when it comes to the money that you've entrusted to us, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have an open hand to say, God, this is something that has been provided for me. I didn't do it. You have blessed. You have provided this for me. You have encouraged me with all these blessings. And Lord, I give back to you a portion of what you have blessed me with. Use it for your glory. Use it for your kingdom work. And help me, Lord, to give with a cheerful heart, not reluctantly, not holding on to it, but just saying, Lord, it's yours anyway. Bless and use this for your mighty work. Help us, Lord, if we're reluctant to step out of the boat and walk on water, we're reluctant to walk in faith and turn that money over to you. Help us, Lord, to begin a discipline of saying, out of the first fruits, I'm going to give. And would you encourage us, Lord, to walk in faith and help us to grow spiritually through that act of obedience? And so oftentimes, there's so many, Lord, that faithfully give. Help us to appreciate and say thank you for the faithfulness of those that give on such a regular basis. Continue, Lord, to help them give with a cheerful heart. And would you bless and go before them as well? But Lord, do a work in all of our lives. And bless and go before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.